Thank you, Mr. Tuck, and good morning to everyone on this last day of Unleavened Bread. I hope everyone's doing well. I just wanted to also welcome those who are on the webcast up in Sholo, Hawaii, all those who are shut in, who are unable to meet with us here today. I know we have Jan Sweeten listening in, the Montgomerys, the Sims, and many others. I also wanted to say thank you to all of you, as it's a commandment to come together on God's Sabbaths, an assembly, to fellowship and to worship Him. And I know many of you take time to pick people up and to bring them here. And I know a lot of you go out of your way. And sometimes we really don't know what you guys all go through until someone is unable to do it for whatever reason. And then we scramble to try to find rides. So we appreciate you and all that you do. Appreciate all you who make this holy day come together. And all the serving. Many of you serve tirelessly and give of yourselves. So we want just to let you know that we don't forget that, and we appreciate you very, very much. So we're concluding the days of Unleavened Bread today. Today is the seventh day of the day of Unleavened Bread. And there are powerful reminders, spiritual principles that we are to rehearse and to reflect on during these days and then carry them over into our lives. I'm sorry for my little bit of cough. I get it every year during the allergy season. We had just taken the Passover for those who were baptized. And the whole world knows that scripture, John 3:16, but God hasn't revealed the understanding of it to all mankind. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whoever believes on Him, and the world, those in the world say, I just got to believe. I just have to accept Jesus Christ. Got to believe that He exists. Believe on Him. Then I can be saved. I can have eternal life. But we know that there's more to it than that. We know that Jesus Christ had to die. He had to suffer. His broken body was beaten because of sin. Our sins. We put that on Him. And He was willing to take that penalty, that death penalty, in our stead. And that through Him, through His broken body, we can be healed. Acts 3:19, don't want to turn there, says, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Because of this sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because of the shedding of His blood, our sins can be forgiven so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Refreshing because of that sacrifice that God has given to us. An amazing love. A love that we as human beings cannot demonstrate. We call it agape love. 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Does the world lay down their lives for the brethren? A lot of the world is willing to take lives, not give lives. And sometimes we might be confused that Christianity in the world, they're Christians. Well, unless they're called by God, it's a false Christianity. They worship a false Christ. They don't understand that God is love and God's law is love. So therefore, the world suffers. And they don't understand why the world suffers. They get angry because the world is suffering, and they put the blame on God. But it's because of disobedience is why the world suffers. UNICEF is a division of the United Nations where a lot of money is poured into United Nations for a number of areas trying to make the world a better place. UNICEF, you can Google this and get some of these statistics there. I may be a year behind, but it says half the world's population live on $2.50 a day. And half of these individuals live on $1.25 a day. That's the average. So take those that are very blessed, money they make, and that's part of the average. Some don't even have a job. Many don't have a job. 22,000 children die every day due to disease and poverty. A day. That is like Cottonwood and Sedona. The population of Sedona is 10,000. Cottonwood is 12,000. That's like that. Those cities dying every single day, every year, year after year. 805 million people do not have enough food to eat every day. I know some of the places in Africa, that is true. Those in the church used to sometimes, many people had one meal a day. That has changed. God has provided for them. Were they able to get three meals a day? But there's 165 million people that out of those 805 who are permanently stunned because of lack of nutrition. They're not able to grow properly. They're deformed. 700 million people lack access to clean drinking water. In Africa, they'll see a pond where the animals drink out of, and they'll drink out of that same pond. They don't understand why that, hey, if my cow can drink it, why can't I? My cow doesn't get sick. So it's hard to teach people. It's hard to teach. Satan has deceived the world. Approximately 842,000 people die every year because of lack of hygiene, proper hand washing, and infected drinking water. Nairobi, just before I left, there was an outbreak of cholera. Chinese have been coming in and building a lot of infrastructure. And it looks good from the outside. But the streets are running full of human waste because these apartment complexes that they're building are overflowing because of the septic tanks that they put at the bottom of the buildings, and they run their pipes into the streets. They don't want to call the companies to come dump them because it costs money. And the Nairobi River that flows through the city is totally contaminated. And there's a very large slum with almost 1 million people in that slum that go down and get their drinking water from that river. When that water runs in the streets, what does it do? It runs down the streets, down in the curbs, into the fields where people plant their crops. We see that individuals, there's more than just to believing in Jesus Christ. There's an action that God requires of us that we too must be loved, as we heard in the last hymn we just sang. You know, 1/3 of Africa lacks clean water. 1/4 of all humanity live without electricity. There's no air conditioning. There's fans. If there is electricity, we get that. It's rare to have anything cold. No ice cream. 2.8 billion people struggle to find wood or dung to burn to cook their food. And Americans spend more money on Halloween than the world does on preventing malaria every year. The dark side of human nature is that we tend to forget God's blessings, and that we seem to have an attitude of entitlement, and we make demands. I want more. God, you need to do more for me. We need to think about that. In the days of unleavened bread, as that is eating from the wrong bread, if that is our mindset. Because it says in 1 John 4:8, it says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. When we see the world treating people like this, and we see the people of the world living the way they are, it's because of Satan. It's because of the nature that they have, and Satan then pounding on that and deceiving them. But we have not been deceived. John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Not just for us, but also for the world, that says that God is love. And he who abides in love, or who remains in this calling of God that he's called us to, he's called us to be like him. And God is love, right? So, and he who remains in love remains in God, and God in him. Like John 17 that we read at the Passover. Jesus Christ prayed for unity for us. He prayed to the Father that we might have unity. Jesus Christ said in Luke 22, verse 19, as he implemented the Passover symbols, he told the disciples, and he tells us, take, eat of the unleavened bread. The unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Take, eat of it. It represents me. I am the unleavened bread. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So during these days of unleavened bread, have we been focusing on both types of bread? I think we have. I think for me, it's like over the years, I've heard stories, and I've messed up, but I've heard stories. Well, I'm on an airplane, and when have they ever had beef hot dogs? During the days of unleavened bread. And you forget about the bread. Right? But our mindset is on the bread, the leavening in the bread that we're not supposed to eat. That symbolizes sin during these days. And the unleavened bread that represents Jesus Christ and the body of Jesus Christ, us. We focus on that, of how we can be better through Jesus Christ, to have a relationship with God that they can make their home with us. Reflect on this. Matthew 5:48. Therefore you shall be perfect. We're not perfect. But we shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. We come to that maturity and that understanding that we need to be love. Perfect love casts out fear. God is love. And if God and Jesus Christ are in us, we are to be like them, which is love, agape love. I mean, our nature has a proclivity to sin, right? So we also read on Passover, Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens. I mean, he's been accepted by God after he's been in the grave 3 days and three nights, so that we could receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, our calling, our duty, our responsibility to hold fast to the truth. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Our weaknesses here, a proclivity to sin, but was in all points tempted. We are tempted by Satan to sin. He was tempted as we are, but he was without sin. He never did sin. Verse 16, so let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we need God all the time. We need God to change. We need God to have this agape love. We need God. We need the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We need that sacrifice from God to change our lives, to keep seeking that bread, the living bread, the bread of life in our lives. Without it, we cannot love one another. We'd be in the world. What a blessing to be here today, to be called. We're to be all partakers of that one bread. We made a commitment. We recommitted ourselves at Passover. Today, let's look at some lessons regarding bread. And we can ask, what lessons can we learn about bread? Titled the message, The Living Bread. And as we go through this, these aren't the only lessons. There are so many lessons that we can learn from. But those lessons need to remain with us after these days of unleavened bread. We can reflect on them. We can implement them into our lives. And we have the Old Testament Passover, right? Passover on the 14th, on the 15th. The night to be much remembered, where Israel left Egypt. And how did they leave? They left in haste. They left quickly. What did they leave out of? A land of paganism. They worshipped so many animals. They worshipped God's creation. It was a land of sin. And they hurried out of it in haste. Quickly. No time to have leavened bread. No time to let that yeast set into the bread. We also, what do we do when we see sin? What happens when we see sin in our lives? We see it on the television. We see it around us. Maybe we make a sin. Not maybe, when we sin, because we sin all the time, but it's not something we want to practice. Do we want to get rid of it quickly, in haste? We have to ask ourselves and to think about it. Do I compromise? Am I compromising with this sin, allowing it? Or I made this sin and I'm not addressing it right away. And then maybe we justify it. No. We're unleavened and we're like Jesus Christ. We don't want to sin. We want to put on righteousness. We also, in haste, want to put sin out of our lives. We want to take action. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. For those who want to follow along. And I think, you know, we can look at this from the perspective of the days of unleavened bread, the model prayer. Because Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 1, as it leads up to verse 8, it's talking about humble yourself. Don't put yourself in front of the crowds and let people see how righteous you are, how religious you are. When we do that, it says we're hypocrites. No. Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 6, he says, don't be like them. For Father, your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner pray. So we don't pray in vain repetition over and over and over, that thinking that we can get our will, or in the open that people can see that we're praying. Sometimes you go to the airport and you'll see people in the corner bobbing back and forth praying. Sometimes we'll see it openly. But no, he says, hey, humble yourselves and seek the true bread. Seek the true bread. As you go through the model prayer, I'm going to look at it as spiritual. You know, sometimes we'll look at everything as spiritual, then we look at that middle section as the bread, and we'll apply the physical bread. I don't want to apply that today. Our calling is spiritual. Our calling, we need the living bread. Our Father in heaven, Jesus Christ says, pray this way. Pray to him. Hallowed be your name. We come from hallow his name. Give him reverence. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. This should be our mindset. And this is what we should be wanting and applying in our lives. We want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So give us this day our daily bread. And through that process, we can desire to want God's will, desire to have a relationship with God, to want to become and have that agape love, so that we can, in verse 12, forgive our debts, just as we forgive those who sin against us. And even taking it one step further, like Jesus Christ, and just forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do. I'm taking on the penalty. When someone sins against us, or someone sins out there, are we willing to say, hey, I'll take that on me. Forgive them. What did Abigail do? Nabal, her husband. She took on the penalty. She said, David, don't. Yes, he's a fool, but put the sin on me. I take responsibility. And she didn't even do it. Isn't that what Jesus Christ has done for us? Isn't that agape love? Instead of us judging one another? We're talking about that in the car on the way up here. And we all in our family, we all need to be working on that. Because it's so easy to be eating from the wrong bread. We puff ourselves up. And forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Our sins aren't going to be forgiven if we're not forgiving others. Our sins, Jesus Christ took upon. He didn't commit a sin. He was willing to die for us. Are we willing to die for others? Or do we got to point out those sins? We can't do it without the blood of Jesus Christ, without his broken body and being healed. We need it. We need the living bread. And do not lead us into temptation. We need the living bread so we aren't led into temptation. So that God will show us when we sin. God, show me my sins. Show us our sins. And as you go through the model prayer, it's us, us, us. It's not self-focused. And deliver us from the evil one, from Satan. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then emphasizes verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, talking about us, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So it's a reminder for us. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses, your sins, our sins. And we need our sins forgiven, or we can't be healed. We can't display godly love. Verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters. We can't serve God. We can't be God-centered. And we can't be physically centered for money. Can't. What is our focus? For either we will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and you can't serve the self. Can't do both. We have to ask ourselves, I have to ask myself. I have to keep overcoming the self. Keeps coming up. Verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What? Don't worry about my job, my food, my health, terminal disease. It says, don't worry about your life, the physical things. The things that, oh, look what God has given me. We just read what the world is suffering from in all these third world countries. And we sometimes feel entitled that God needs to do more for me. Don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food? Is not life. Our life, our physical life, it says, is it not more than food? And the body more than clothing? There's more to it than that. And he can go on. He says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about it. Yeah, but we're physical, right? We can't overcome on our own. We need the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. When we focus on ourselves, that's not love. That's not agape love. I'm going to continue over in John chapter 6 and just give you the highlights here where Jesus Christ feeds the 5,000 men. And seems like there's, he's talking about the men, but there's also women and children there. So there's more than 5,000 people there from what is said here. But Jesus Christ wants to teach. He's always teaching. Not everyone hears the words of Jesus Christ. Not everyone can. You must be called and drawn to Jesus Christ. And he opens our eyes and we must respond. So I believe that we are here. We have been called. We have made a commitment. And we should hear the words. Should be reflecting on these last 7 days. So after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, and which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs. They followed him because he was healing. Healing physically. Which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. So he, all these people are here, and he gets up on the mountain, and they're down here in this valley. And now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "What shall we buy? Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" So here we see it's close to the Passover. It talks about the Jews' Passover. All right. It's Passover season. So they're aware of bread, and they're aware of the Passover. So this was a time that Jesus Christ was teaching. But he said this to them to test them, for he knew himself what he was going to do. Disciples, you're with me. I'm the Son of God. I can do all things. They missed the point. God can do all things. They were worried about how are we going to feed the people? How are we going to take care of the people? God said to take care of them. But God says, hey, I provide. Don't worry about the body. Right? Don't worry about life. Have faith. Philip answered him, and you can go down to the process. They're struggling on how to take care of this. But then verse 10, and Jesus said, make the people sit down. So there's a lad there who has 2 fish and 5 loaves, 7 pieces of food. And Jesus Christ is able to teach and instruct. First there's organization, sit down. He blesses the food. And God multiplies it. His disciples take from Jesus Christ and distribute to the people, and they're to the full. And there's food left over. And Jesus Christ doesn't let them take it with them. Pass out the baskets, they fill it up, and they take it back. Now, I'm sure there's a lot more meaning to than what I'm able to bring out and what I understand. But God does things in order. He supplies our needs. Two are full. Not too much and not too less. We don't have to worry about our life. He took care of them. And you can go back and you can read that. But and then Jesus Christ departs. The people leave. And they're looking for him. The next day, they're looking for him. So on the following day, verse 22, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one that his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone on alone. So verse 25, and when they found Jesus on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Oh, when did you come here? They were searching for him, and there he is. Oh, when did you come here? Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs." What signs? He just taught them the day before. There's not enough food to feed you. We took what little we had. We went to God. He multiplied it. We sat down. There was order. You ate to your full. You got your full. There was food left over. We collected it up. So you ate and you were full. Then he says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures for everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." God is willing to give that to us. God is willing to give his love to us, that sacrifice of love, for us to apply God's law into our lives, which is a law of love, loving God and serving each other. They said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Believe in what I'm saying. Trust in me. And we can't do it without that sacrifice. We can't do it with Jesus Christ. Therefore, they said to him, "What sign will you perform?" So they're looking for another sign, right? Verse 32, and Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven." So they're saying, well, we got this manna. Our fathers got this manna. Jesus Christ is saying, Moses didn't give that to you. "But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." I'm here to give you life, to give you nourishment that will last for eternity. And they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." I know we say that. Give us this bread always. And Jesus Christ says to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. For I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe." Oh, they believed in Jesus Christ. They were right there. They saw him face to face. They believed in him, but not to the point where they accepted his words and to put it into practice, to put God first through him. It says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will no means cast out." So God does the calling. We must respond. And Jesus Christ works with us daily. He is the living bread, the unleavened bread. For us to be unleavened with each other, we need the leavened bread. To be united, to be one body, to be kind, to be loving, to be caring, we need the living bread. We need to hear and apply the sacrifice that God has given us into our lives, or we will be feeding on the leavened bread, the focus on ourselves. Jesus Christ says, "I have not come down from heaven. I have not come down. I have not come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me I should not lose, but should raise it up on the last day." He has been given a job to dedicate himself to not lose us. We can only lose ourselves. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son, believes on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day." Let's quickly turn over to one set of scriptures in closing. Exodus chapter 16, as we are looking at, I never numbered these lessons. There's so many of them, and I'm sure you'll pick up more on them, and I'm sure I'll miss quite a few. But these are some lessons regarding bread. And as we go through this, we can ask ourselves, what am I learning about bread? Because it's during these days the symbolism is what we need to be learning about. And then going forward and applying it in our days. Exodus 16, verse 1, and they journeyed from him, and all the congregations of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. So it's only been a month or so, a month, that they've left Egypt, 15th day of the second month, 1 month. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. So they're already complaining. They saw the miracles, and they're already complaining. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt." So here they're complaining, they're murmuring. "When we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Didn't they just come out with cattle and sheep, which they could have slaughtered and ate? Where's their focus? "Oh, you brought us out. You've done this to us. I'm entitled." Do we really want to come out of sin? We have to ask ourselves that. "Well, then the Lord said to Moses," and look at the compassion on God. God still cares for us. "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my way or not." So they're being tested. And verse 6, "And Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, because God is going to rain bread in the morning, and also give meat in the evening." In verse 9, "Then Moses spoke to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord. He has heard your complaints. Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke, as the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God." They already knew that this was God. They're already complaining. God is very merciful and compassionate, and he continues to bless them. And they continue to not get the lessons. Now God, as he watches over Israel, he took care of their needs. As we're called as a spiritual Israel, do we trust in God that he's going to take care of our needs? I know we know that we're supposed to, that God will bless us through his Holy Spirit. But it's something that we must seek to overcome in our lives to be more like God. So, in the camp, as you go through verse 13, the manna is early in the morning, which the bread has come from God, and when they wake up in the morning, the dew that's out there early in the morning, the bread is out there, they're commanded. In verse 16, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded, let everyone gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person, according to the number of persons, let every man take for those who are in his tent. So just take for your need. Don't worry about tomorrow. It's for today. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. So God provides just enough. A little bit left over, share with my people, my brethren, with others. Like you guys do with each other. God does provide. God provided for Israel, even though they were sinning. God will provide our needs. No more, no less. He wants us to have faith. Our spiritual growth is in the living bread, Jesus Christ. And we seek to obey God through Him. And God provides us the unleavened bread of Jesus Christ. And we're required to be unleavened and serve each other as the body of Christ. And when we sin against each other, we're sinning against the body of Christ. See, as you go down, they're told to gather every morning their food and to use that food up for that day. Just like our calling, the living bread, we pray to God every day. And it's through that sacrifice of Jesus Christ that we can grow spiritually, that it couldn't happen without God's Holy Spirit, His power in us, which makes it possible because of that sacrifice. And just as you go through this, you'll see that they're to do it in the morning, to do it before it gets hot or it's gone, right? So we don't want to wait too long in the day. I think we could do that parallel, and we get up in the morning to make sure that we're putting God first in our lives. We're reflecting on Him for that day, that we can dwell on that spiritual bread so that we can make an impact in our lives because of God and His Son and in all those we come into contact with each day. We know that we can't store up the manna. We can't store up, well, that prayer, and that's good for a week, or that's good for a few days. No. It's good for that time, for that day, throughout the day, as we meditate on God. We need to keep going back. Just as they went and they continued to gather the manna each day, we also must go to the living bread each day. As God provides for them, He provides for us. Don't worry about tomorrow. It's going to be there. Oh, except when it comes to the holy day. Gather twice as much the day before and obey me. We are to prepare for the Sabbath. Prepare. Prepare. He says, I'll provide for you. These are my instructions. This is what we do. As you keep going through, you know, this process, you know, some obeyed and some did not obey. Some, we know, they kept it overnight. They were not to keep it overnight. And we know that God got angry. We know that Moses got angry. But you know what? That manna, as I think, believe it's verse 31, and the house of Israel called its name manna. And it was like white cedar seed. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Where were they going to? They were going to a land of milk and honey, the promised land. That food that God provided for them gave them that taste of that honey, right? They're going to the promised land. They got a taste of it every day. God provided for them. We get the taste of the kingdom of God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the living bread, every day. To develop that into our lives so that who we are, we can become, right? When God does come and we can be love. So God provides manna every day for us, just as He provided manna for them for the 40 years until they got to the promised land. We have our lives to live and to become more like God. We have God's promise. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in the glory. How? By Jesus Christ, that sacrifice being applied to us, us using it, us eating on it every day. As Mr. Tuck explained on the first day of unleavened bread, we eat unleavened bread for 7 days, and we focus on that symbolism. So the days of unleavened bread, they are coming to a conclusion this evening. We just went over some lessons regarding bread, the leavened bread, of how we are not to be, of what we're supposed to be putting out, the symbolism during these days, and the symbolism of unleavened bread, of what we are to put on. We are to put on Christ, and we are to treat each other as God treats us. We are to love as God loves. Come to that maturity, that understanding. Our minds have been on bread these past 7 days. Let's not forget the spiritual meaning, the symbolism during this time. So let us be reminded that for our survival, we must be eating the bread of life.